If you would pull out your Bible, turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. First prayer will be about having self-control, the same kind of self-control that Daniel showed throughout his life, especially in the early years of his life. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Skip on down to verse 11. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Test yourselves for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. This prayer will be about the self-control, courage when faced upon temptation. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you just for allowing us to come to you in prayer. We thank you for your wisdom and understanding that you allow us to even approach your holy throne. We understand that this would not be possible without you sending your sinless Son to die for us. And for this we thank you. Father, we humbly approach your throne with your servant Daniel in our hearts. We praise you for allowing us to see this example of such courage, self-control, and determination to do your will. We are so thankful that we have preserved your word for thousands of years and that it gives us guidance through this life. We are so thankful that we have a God who does not change. You are consistent with what you want your people to do from the time of David to today. You want us to resolve in our hearts and in our minds to not be defiled by the world. Father, create in us the self-control and courage that your servant Daniel had. Even at such a young age, he was determined to carry out your will. Father, we know that temptations will surround our lives, and it is inevitable that they will creep into our lives. But Father, help us to understand that we need to you and we need your word to overcome these temptations. Father God, fill our lives with strength and courage to overcome the obstacles in our lives. Let us understand that we must work at keeping sin out of our lives through the study of your word, diligent prayer, and meaningful prayer, Father, and daily devotion to you, Father. Help us to make your laws important in our lives like your servant Daniel did. He was unwilling for worldly laws and temptations to supersede your laws, Father. Help us to realize that your law is perfect and sin has its flaws. Your law changes lives for the better. Sin destroys our lives. Your law is pure. Sin is full of impurity. Help us to fully desire your ways as your servant Daniel did. For your ways are far higher than our ways, higher than the heavens are above the earth. Father, keep our hearts far away from evil. Help us to understand the schemes of the devil and that he wants to destroy us and you want to heal us. He wants to empty us and you want to consume us, Father. Father, guard our hearts just like you did with your servant Daniel. Truly, a day in your courts is far better than 1,000 elsewhere. Father, help us to have the attitude that Daniel had. Just as your servant David says in his word, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Father, help our souls to long for you. This is exactly what Daniel did. He understood that you are worthy of praise, worthy of sacrifice, worthy of persecution. Help us to have this mindset, the mindset of understanding the importance of serving you only and dwelling with you. Father, we thank you that there is no temptation that is too difficult for us to overcome. You have promised us this wonderful blessing that there is always a way to overcome the temptation. And we thank you so much for this blessing, Father. Help us to have the courage and the determination to find the way of escape, just as Daniel was able to do in the king's courts. Finally, Father, we ask for forgiveness when temptation consumes us. We ask that this sin will be forgiven, but we must be resolved to be like your servant Daniel, one who is willing to defeat sin and follow your word, Father. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Number 469. From the story of continued in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, as we look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire, and what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up." We're going to focus a prayer for increasing our faith and trusting God. If you'll bow with me. Father, we're so thankful for servants like these that we can read about, and your word that was revealed that can help us be better servants to you. And as we look at these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faced with a very difficult decision. And as we look at them as heroes and we put them on a pedestal, we have to remember that they were just men. Young men were faced with a decision to make. They knew that there was possible pain and even death before them. but yet they stood strong in their faith. They did not bow. They made the decision not to bow, but yet to serve you and to fear you. They knew you would protect them. But even if you didn't, they knew that there was something better before them. May you remember that these men probably had fear and were scared, but yes, they had faith in you, that you are their God. And Father, you are our God as well. And may we never forget that. And when we are faced with fears and worries, may we never bow, just like these three men of faith. May we never bow when faced with hunger. When we feel alone, may we never bow to it. When we become afraid, may we never bow. When uncertain days are before us, may we never bow. If we become sick or afflicted with disease, may we never bow. If we lose everything and become poor and desperate, may we never bow to the temptations of this life. But when faced with these difficulties, may we make the decision in our heart. May our faith be strengthened and to realize that you are our God. And if we read of the fire in this story and the fire that they faced, may we remember we will face these fires in this life. But I pray, dear Lord, that you put into our hearts a fire that blazes like none other. Put a fire in our hearts where it needs to be lit. Put a fire in our hearts and a faith in our hearts that cannot be extinguished. Thank you for these men and the example that they set. And may our faith be strengthened. And we pray for you to strengthen us. And may our faith grow stronger in every day of our life. In Christ's name, amen.
Number continue in the book of Daniel at chapter 6. Verses 10 through 13. Just before Daniel was tossed into the lion's den for praying to his God, to our God. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition three times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. I skipped a little bit. I apologize. Let me start at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, "The statement is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked." Then they answered and spoke before the king, "Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day." We'll be praying a prayer tonight about fervent prayer and how we need that in our lives for a better prayer life, an increased dedication to prayer, and an appreciation for being able to communicate with our God. Let's pray. Our most holy and giving Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bow our heads before you tonight. We thank you for your awesome power and your loving kindness toward us. You have blessed us in many ways, Father, and particularly tonight we offer thanks for prayer. Prayer is only possible because of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, who because of his death, we can have a relationship with you. We thank you for this gift and ask you to help us to take full advantage of this gift of prayer. We need to communicate with you more, Father, more and more each day, especially now, with what's going on in our world. We need to bow our heads daily, morning, noon, and night, to let you know how grateful we are for another day and how grateful we are for this gift. Another day that we can talk to you. And what a privilege it is, Father. And we thank you for this blessing to be able to talk to you. May we understand the importance of communicating with you often throughout each day of our lives, whether in times of excitement or despair, happiness or sadness, may we always give you the praise and the thanks and the glory and to ask you for help and for guidance. We are thankful for men like Daniel, for this powerful example of faith, knowing that he would be punished for his continuous prayer to you. But he had faith that you would protect him, even thrown in the lion's den, and he was protected. Thank you for men such as Daniel that we can read about. May we have this type of faith when we pray to you, as you hear our petitions, knowing that the answers you will provide will be in your time. Help our faith in this. Help our focus when we pray, Father, that we are conscious of how serious prayer is and how we need to take the time each and every day, how we need to dedicate time throughout the day to talk to you. Father, help us to understand our place. You created us. Help us to submit to your will and to follow your will. Please guide us in your service, our Father, and forgive our shortcomings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song number 4. If it's convenient, why don't we go ahead and stand as we sing this song? To God be the glory. Song number 4.
God be the glory, great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave. wonderful song about us being able to give God the glory for the great things that He has done in our life. And Daniel did the same thing. When Daniel was a young man, in chapter 2, early in the book of Daniel, we read about how Daniel was called in to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Later on in his life, in the situation with the lion's den, when he's brought out of the lion's den, the first thing he says to King Darius is that God saved us. In the interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar, he gives God the glory. Let's read about that in chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, about when he interpreted the dream. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows: "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows: "I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men nor conjurers, magicians nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were in bed." So you see Daniel giving God the glory. Also in chapter 6, when he's taken and preserved in the lion's den, Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him." In both these situations, Daniel giving God the glory. We need to do that in life as well. In our lifetime, we may not be thrown into a lion's den, and we may not interpret king's dreams, but we go to work every day, or we go to school, and we're going to have opportunities to give God the glory, whether to co-workers or to a supervisor. Daniel was consistent throughout his entire life. Early in his life with the interpretation to the dream was to Nebuchadnezzar. Later on in life was to King Darius. So you see consistency. He constantly gave God the glory in his life. He didn't change when he had a different boss. "Well, maybe I have a new boss and he's not religious, or he'll ridicule me if I declare that this is from God." We need to be consistent as well. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, and we're grateful for the ability to let our light shine every day in our life. We pray that you would give us a reminder of being humble in this life. We're thankful for Daniel and the example he gave. Help us to humble ourselves in good times and in bad. Father, help us to remember also how Jesus taught us that blessed are the poor in spirit. Help us to have a humble, contrite heart, a broken spirit in this life, that we may have glory in the life to come. Help us to remember how your son Jesus also humbled himself unto death, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like, you can go ahead and mark in your songbooks number 912. We'll be singing that in just a few moments here when we offer the Lord's invitation. After you do that, I would invite you to pull out your Bible, and if you would, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We'll look at that passage here in just a few minutes. Before we get started with that, I want to thank all of the gentlemen who participated this evening. I appreciate everything that they had to say and the time and the effort that they put in to prepare for this. I thank Eric for leading our singing. Everyone did a fantastic job. That's the good thing about going to a big church. There's lots of people that can do lots of different things. So I appreciate that very much. We chose the theme Daniel for this evening because Daniel is someone that we can really relate ourselves to. Daniel and his friends weren't too much different than we are in the world that they live versus the world that we live in. And although their geographic location had changed due to their exile in Babylon, the rest of their surroundings were pretty similar to what we find as our surroundings in today's world. The culture that they lived in was one that went against their upbringing and their faith. The society that they lived in seemed to continue to digress, become more evil, and deteriorate as time went along. And most of the people that surrounded them didn't believe in the one true God and put more of an emphasis on extravagance and material things. We live in a world today that believes less and less in God every day. We live in a country where a woman can murder her daughter and be acquitted and get offered hundreds and thousands of dollars to write a book and be proclaimed as a hero in some circles. If that's not a mark of deterioration, I don't know what is. We live in a country that's divided over politics and economics, and it only seems to be unified in the wake of tragedy, and also unified through international sports and competition through the Olympic Games. We live in a country that has long forgotten the motto that we adopted back in 1956, that motto, of course, being, "In God We Trust." We're constantly tested and tried as we try to live like Christ, just like Daniel and his friends were constantly tested and tried in a foreign land. What's most impressive about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was their consistency, their resolve. Being misplaced, put into a different culture from what they were used to, almost overnight without even knowing it, and still being true to themselves and to the law that they knew and to the God that they had a relationship. They never chose to compromise their faith, and therefore they never compromised that relationship. No matter how difficult the pressure was to conform to those surroundings that were around them, they never seemed to falter. If you would look at Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 35, and we'll begin there. Beginning in verse 35, it says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.'" That's the interesting thing about Daniel and his friends. Although they were separated from their country, separated from everything that they knew to be their reality, they never separated themselves from God. And as testy as times got for them, as some of these men have read about, they always stayed consistent with that resolve. Daniel was a pretty meticulous guy. He was one that lived a very regimented life. He tried to keep things as simple and consistent on a daily basis as possible. He never really seemed to stray from his formula for success. Whether it was a small matter that required a little attention or a large matter that was very important, he was always very calculated in his decision making. As Matt read about earlier, Daniel chose not to defile himself when offered with the king's choice food and wine. And by doing so, he found favor with God and with those who were around him. Didn't matter that it was just a meal offered to him, that he was miles and miles away from his country, that none of his people that he knew were looking or were paying attention to what he was doing. He showed his integrity by demonstrating self-control. And while it would have been nice to taste some foreign cuisine, I'm sure, when others weren't looking, Daniel held true to his motives. When you think of Daniel, the word that comes to mind is the word integrity. The Latin word from integrity literally means entire. And Daniel, as we've seen so far this evening, lived his life entirely with self-control. Integrity, I saw it written the other day, as being the same person no matter where we are and no matter who's around. It doesn't matter who's around us at work, socially, in our circles of friends, whether we're at church or we're not at church. It's very important that we remain to be the same people because consistency is what yields example. God obviously wants us to be as consistent as we can as we try and be like Christ, but he also wants us to be an example to those around us. A ruined example, of course, is a lost opportunity to maybe save someone else. Paul perhaps may have summed it up best in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16 when he was before Felix. He said, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and man. Paul knew that he couldn't portray himself one way to one group of individuals and then turn around and portray himself differently to another group. And at the same time, he knew that he couldn't say different things and act differently to men than he was doing to God. He knew that he had to be consistent for his cause to truly be met. Daniel and his friends showed an amazing amount of faith as they moved through their lives in Babylon, no matter what circumstances they were faced with. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced with the fiery furnace, they somehow seemed to put their best foot forward despite that terrorizing situation that they found themselves in. They made sure to respect the law of the land and be law-abiding citizens, but when it came down to choosing to worship a different God other than the true God, they put their foot down and said that they would not do it. They were people with true convictions. And people with true convictions, their decisions are made before the challenge is presented. They didn't necessarily know that the fiery furnace was in their future, but even that being thrown their way, they had made it clear that they were not going to bow down to this golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had put before them. I can't imagine anything being worse than facing a fiery furnace or a fiery death as you're the end of your life. Carter and I were watching some TV today, and we were watching the intro to Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. I think being thrown into a circle of great white sharks that haven't eaten in a week or two might be pretty rough as well, but I think a fiery furnace, if we took a poll in this room tonight, would probably be in the top five of everyone's worst ways that they could possibly imagine dying. They knew that God would either spare them, or if he didn't spare them, they would perish, but perish doing what was right, knowing that their reward would come afterward. Their faith was perfected through God's deliverance. We're tested all the time here on earth. We know that every day presents a different challenge. Some days are good, some days are bad. But what we have to remember is that each day is just one day. And if one day is really terrible, it's not the end of the world. There's always tomorrow. And if there's not tomorrow, we know that we have to be ready for when that final day comes. Let's flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth, after being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Obviously, we don't know when that last day is going to come, but that's all the more reason for us to remember that one day is just one day, and that we have to be prepared at all times in case that end were to come. That's what Daniel and his friends did. It didn't matter to them what was presented to them. They knew that each day they had to do what they had to do to remain true to themselves and to the law. Throughout their time in Babylon, Daniel and his friends maintained a consistent dialogue with God. They communicated with him daily, even in a world of uncertainty. And obviously, if we took a poll tonight and asked everyone to raise their hands on who is completely satisfied with their prayer life, I don't think many people would raise their hands. And that's not a knock on the group that are here tonight. That's just saying that sometimes it's very difficult to maintain that consistent prayer life. Whether we get caught up with our duties with work or with school or with our families or with our children, sometimes we lose a little bit of track of time and we forget what's truly important. Communication with God is a gift that we should use as a tool to navigate through this life. Talking to God is pretty much like talking to the most important person in your life. If you work, your spouse may call you at work, and if you're like me, you're on the phone 24/7, 365, and if I see my wife calling, I know I either better pick it up, or I better call her back pretty quick, or at least send her a text message. Obviously, I do that because communication is key to a healthy relationship. It's no different than our relationship with God. That communication has to be there. If he's our Father, he's the person that we should be able to tell all things to and look for his understanding. It also seems, and you may or may not agree with me on this one, sometimes it's harder to pray if we have a guilty conscience, if we've done something that we know we shouldn't have done. It seems like Satan sometimes makes us feel too ashamed to pray. You may or may not have experienced that. I've experienced that before, where I know that I've done something or been up to something that I shouldn't do, and therefore I'm almost afraid to speak to the Almighty God. And as good as God is, and as great as He is, and as intimidating as He is, He wants us to talk to Him about the most intimate details. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 reads, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Philippians chapter 4 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We can tell God anything we want. Funny thing is, He already knows what's going on with us because He knows everything, but He still wants us to ask for help. By us asking for help, He will make sure and give us the right understanding that we need to navigate through that situation. Another important thing with Daniel and his friends were they always understood the power and the glory of God, no matter what situation was presented, and they were always willing to give Him credit in every situation. Whenever something good happened, whenever something bad happened, they knew that His hand was in it, that He was working behind the scenes, and therefore that gave them the confidence that they needed. Their humility in that regard contributed to their consistency. Why should we give God the glory in every situation? Well, number one, He deserves it because look at all that He's done for us. Number two, we need to remember that He'll be with us if we recognize the work of His hand. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Look at that last line. The God of peace will be with you. Obviously, peace is something that we all need in our lives because there's enough trials and strife out there to negate that. The more peace that we have, the better apt we are to deal with it. When we have inner peace, our mental strength is at such a high level that we're able to make more calculated decisions and understand the gravity of what we're doing in different situations. Perhaps you're here this evening and you don't have much peace in your life. Maybe your life is filled with sin and with strife and with troubles. Maybe you've lost a little bit of your self-control and therefore you've made a couple bad decisions. Maybe you've forgotten that God is the one that deserves all the credit for everything that happens. There's a time for you to make that right tonight, and that's just by confessing your sins and asking for help. Everybody here wants to see everyone succeed, and if someone were to come forward tonight, there would be a long line out the door to come up and talk to them. I know because I've been in that situation. It's an amazing thing, something that is an amazing experience. On the other side, if you've never been baptized, you've never become a Christian, tonight is the night to change all of that. You can put on this new armor and understand this new relationship with God that you've not experienced yet. Whatever your need is, we hope that you'll take advantage of tonight. You'll come forward as we stand and sing.